Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear with them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Verse number 4 is our scripture text. Our Lord says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. If the Lord would stand by me, I want to preach tonight what I'm calling needed a cure for the common cold. Some of us know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a physical cold. Some of us have been fighting that. I'm talking about a spiritual cold. There are symptoms, aren't they? Isn't there obvious symptoms when someone's got a cold? It's evident. It's clear for everyone to see they've got a cold. About like the preacher you're listening to right now. Sounds like his head is in a jug. Or is it just me hears that? You know, stuffy head, runny nose, watery eyes, chills, fevers, all that. Symptoms of the common cold. It's very contagious too, isn't it? Very contagious, isn't it? Usually it gets everybody in the family. I mean, it just doesn't stop with one. It gets all of us. It's that way in the church, too, isn't it? I want to warn you about that cold tonight. The Lord began to deal with me about a week ago about this. And then Sunday night after I got through preaching, I come down with a chill. I really identified with all this. There are evident symptoms in the physical realm of when that cold begins to take place in one's life. Likewise in the spiritual, a cold. As I know, they say that there's no cure for the common cold physically. But may I say tonight, there's a cure, friend, for this cold that you're going through spiritually right now. Hey, wouldn't it be great if that heart that's here in this service tonight, that's facing that cold, you'd get cured tonight? God would heal you of that coldness of heart. It happened to this church at Ephesus, and it can happen to us too. There are three ways to look at this letter that is written to the church at Ephesus. Actually, three ways to look at all of these churches that our Lord spoke to. One can look at them prophetically. One can look at them in light of Scripture from Pentecost to 100 A.D. and review the things that were foretold that were to happen. They can be looked at prophetically. They can be looked at practically as a literal church, literally Ephesus, the things that were going on right then. But then they can also be looked at personally. They can be looked at from a personal aspect. Rather than you and I just read this letter and say, how sad for them, how pitiful for them, we should look at it this way. Oh God, let me inspect my own life. Am I Ephesus? Am I at this first church that Jesus wrote to? Am I the one that has let my love grow cold? Am I the one who has left my first love? Verse 1 and verse 2. Our Lord commends this church for her faithful works. Notice that, the faithful works of these Christians. They were some very faithful workers. This church had some great qualities. They were very devoted. Mark that. They were very devoted to the task. In verse number 2, he said, I know thy works. This was a working church. He said, I know thy works and thy labor. These Christians were faithfully about the work of God. They were devoted to their task. Thank God for people who are faithful to the work of God. And can I say to all of you that are faithful here at the house of prayer, you that are always willing to work, your hands are always ready, your heart is always open. Anything that can be done, you're always willing. And you're always there. God bless people who are faithful. Thank God for people who can be depended on. And he says to this church at Ephesus, I know thy works. I know thy labor. You're devoted to the task. There was another good quality about this church. They were very defensive. They were very defensive for the truth. Yeah, they were very defensive for the truth. They could not tolerate ministerial evil. It seemed like that this church was one that they could spot a hypocrite a mile off, if you will. They could not tolerate ministerial evil. A minister that professed to be something and he was not, they would not tolerate that. And I think that's very good. I think that's to be commended. I think that we should be guarded. And we should always be careful of what we allow in the pulpit. We do not want false doctrine in the pulpit, do we? We do not want heresy in the pulpit. We do not want men that are not true to the Word of God. So this church is not to be blamed for having this attitude of being defensive for the truth. And may I say, friend, we have every right to defend the truth. When someone comes preaching something, if it doesn't have that right ring to it, if it doesn't witness with your spirit, check the Word of God. And you may say, well, they're having healings, or they're having great crowds, or, you know, they're really having a big meeting. If it does not line up with the Word of God, friend, the best thing to do is stay away from it. So this church would not tolerate false doctrine. They would not tolerate heresy. They're to be commended for that. They were determined. They were determined. They were determined in trial. For he says of them that thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name hast labored and hast not fainted. They were determined. Others were quitting. Others were giving up. Others were running up the white flag in retreat. Others were giving up. Others were saying, what's the use? But this church had not fainted. I look across this congregation here tonight. They are some of you that have been serving God for longer than I have been in the world. You are to be commended that through the hardships of life, through the struggles and through the trials and the disappointments that you have faced, you have not fainted. I want to say I appreciate the house of prayer, you at 519 Grimm, that has been through so many storms and weathered many trials. Thank God in the midst of the turmoil, you held on to God and you did not faint. I want to say that as an encouragement, and I want to say it also as a challenge for some of you who in your families, in your situations, you're going through things that you did not plan, you did not suspect, and you never imagined that you'd be facing those things. Can I remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Are you tired tonight? Are you weary? Are you battle-worn? Are you tired tonight? May I say, don't give up. Stay in the fight. Stay in the battle. Don't faint. I've seen many a good soldier. I've seen many a good warrior who in the midst of trial, who in the midst of test, became overcome, and they made a bad decision in a weak moment. Never, never trust your decisions at tired hours. The verdict of the weary are seldom valid. When you're weary, when you're tired, when your mind is fatigued, that's not the time to make a decision. I've known of people that made decisions in regards to their job, in regard to where they worshiped. They made decisions that affected their family and their children. And it was a decision they made at a tired moment. And they lived to regret it. So let me preach to you tonight that are tired and weary. Don't faint. Don't faint. Be strong. These are the faithful works of these Christians. They were devoted to the task. They were defensive for the truth. And they were determined in their trial. However, this church had a fatal weakness. Look at the fatal weakness of this congregation. What was the fatal weakness of this congregation? For while Christ commended them for their works, he noted in this congregation a weakness. And here it is in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, all of these letters can be interpreted prophetically, practically, personally. Tonight, am I Ephesus? Tonight, are you Ephesus? Is Jesus saying to us, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love? This was a great church. Do you remember its founder? Acts chapter 19. None other than the Apostle Paul. Can you remember some of the early workers in this church? I can think of two. Aquila and Priscilla. This was a great church. And there was also a great teacher, a mighty teacher among them, Apollos by name. This was a wonderful church. And church history tells us that this was young Timothy's first pastorate. When Paul wrote those letters to young Timothy, he was writing them to young Timothy there at Ephesus. What names? Apollos, Aquila, Priscilla. Paul, their founder, Timothy, their pastor. This church had a lot going for it. They had good preaching. They had good teaching. They had a good pastor. This church had a lot going for it. But Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. What had they left? What had they left? They had left their passion. They had left their feeling. They had left that earnestness. They had left that fervency. Oh, my friend, religion becomes such a dread, doesn't it, when we lose feeling? Coming to the house of God becomes such a dread when we lose passion. Worshiping in the song service and participating in the worship and getting in the altars and seeking the face of God, it becomes such a dread when we lose that passion. And always, you see, the thing that bothers me most is when one love is forsaken, one cannot help but wonder and one cannot help but quiz, if love is forsaken, for whom or for what has that love been forsaken? For you see, we are emotional people and our emotions must be satisfied. Life is not simply something that you can just put one thing down and forget everything. No, something will take the place of that vacancy. Something will fill that void. And what Jesus is concerned about is, you have left your first love. Simply put, you have left me. You have sold out your heart. You have sold out your passion for something else. Are you Ephesus tonight? For whom? Or for what
Have you forsook your first love? What is it that has caused you to turn from Christ? What is it that has caused you to turn from serving the Lord? You remember some of you that were in Pascagoula, Mississippi a number of years ago when Brother Don Rich and Brother Joy Hyatt so wonderfully preached from this text, and they used for a title the old song that Mr. Hank Williams used to sing, "Your Cheating Heart Will Tell on You." And Brother Rich and Brother Hyatt tag team preached that night, and they've done a wonderful job. And it's true, my friend, if you lose your love for God, your cheating heart will tell on you. When you lose your desire for the things of God, your cheating heart will tell on you. And I wonder, am I preaching to some in this house tonight? You have been faithful to the house of God for years. You were here many, many years ago, and you've been with us this long. But is there something in your life that is causing you to turn from God, causing you to turn from Christ? I need a praying church to help the preacher preach tonight. And I need to warn you, friend, that the enemy will lay a snare for your soul because he wants to lure you away from the house of God. They left their passion. They lost their place. They left their passion. The thing that they once loved. The thing that they were once so devoted to. The thing that they were once so in love with. They left it. But not only that, they lost their place. For he says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen." They are not what they were, and neither are they where they once were. I want to ask you tonight, are you where you one time were? I mean that closeness. I'm talking about that communion. I'm talking about that commitment. Are you where you once were? Or have you fallen? It can happen so suddenly. Happen so quick. Fallen. Obvious symptoms. Telltale signs. Was it Robert Murray M'Cheyne that called them tokens of perdition? Symptoms of the cold that is in your spiritual life. You no longer have a relish for the things of God. You no longer have a desire for the altar. You no longer have a commitment to the house of God. You've lost your place. Isn't it wonderful when everyone is in their place? Isn't it great when everyone is in their place? The Bible said that the children of Israel came up out of Egypt, harnessed and ranked. Everybody was in their place. But you know, when you fall out of love with Jesus, you get out of your place. And you're not where you're supposed to be. And the preacher looks across the pulpit, and you're not in your place. Are you where you once were? Are you where you once were? Or have you left that passion? And have you lost your place in the house of God? Remember Brother Savage's message years ago at Fairland? He had his grandson stand across the way. And he says, "Ricky, can you hear my heartbeat?" "No." He called him closer and closer. 15 feet away, 10 feet away, 5 feet away. He could not hear his grandfather's heartbeat until Ricky was so close he could lay his head on his grandfather's bosom and he could hear his heartbeat. How far away are you from the Father's heartbeat tonight? Yeah. How far away are you from the Father's heartbeat? How far away are you from the heartbeat of the Father? Love, lost. Love, grown cold. He gives to this church a forceful warning. Remember that. He commends this church for their faithful works. He condemns this church for their fatal weakness. But then to this church he gives a forceful warning. The forceful warning to this church is found in verse number 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. There's a life to be recalled. It begins with remember, a life to be recalled. He says, if I can only get you to remember. Isn't that what Paul said to young Timothy? He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance to stir up the gift of God that is within you. I need to try tonight to stir up memory in somebody's heart tonight. I need to try to cause you to remember from whence thou art fallen. I need to try to cause you to remember where you one time were. You one time took part. You were one time involved. You one time were so filled with involvement and doing things in the house of God, but now you have fallen. And Jesus is saying to this church, you better get back where you were. Is it too much for me as a pastor tonight? Am I taking too much upon myself? Am I taking too much authority tonight for me to look at you and say, you better get back where you are. You that have left that first love, you that have lost out, you that have fallen, you that have allowed things to come between you and God, is it too much for me to say, you need to get back where you were with God? Remember, there's a life to be recalled. There's a loss that is to be regretted. That's what repentance is. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. That's what true repentance is to regret. You see, my friend, here is where you and I must come to a realization and a true sense of repentance. There is a guilt, and I want you to hear this, and I want you to remember it. This is what involves repentance. There is a guilt acknowledged. There is a grief allowed. And then there is grace accepted. But it all begins with one acknowledging there's guilt. You've got to remember, and then you've got to repent. There has to be a sense of regret, a sense of loss, a sense of remorse. And then there's a love that must be renewed. And do the first works. If there's a life to be recalled, if there's a loss to be regretted, then surely there is a love that can be renewed. We hear of it on 25th wedding anniversaries. We hear of it on 50th wedding anniversaries. Vows exchanged. I still have in my office the little devotion that I read the day of Pawpaw and Sister Nell's wedding anniversary. I'll always count it a privilege to have been granted a moment to speak. I still have the words that I read that day. A love renewed. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice tonight? You need to renew that love. make those vows over again? Renew that pledge? Renew that promise? This verse ends with a very sad note. It ends with a very solemn warning. Or else. Or else. It's a conjunction. This is on one side, and this is on the other. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I want us to see this together now as I try to make this so plain to you, so bear with me. There's a life to be recalled. Remember. There's a loss to be regretted. Repent. There's a love to be renewed. Do the first works. Repeat. Or else I will come quickly and remove. There's a life that will be removed. He says, if you don't get it back, I'm going to come take the candlestick. What does that mean? This is one of those verses, as Hebrews 10:26 and 27 has troubled me for years. The candlestick. What does it mean? Loss of love ultimately means loss of light. Jesus is saying, if you don't get your love back, the light's going to go out. I want us to stand all over the house. Come, Brother Bobby. Father in heaven, we thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation that has been patient with me as I've struggled. Lord, you see the weakness of my body, but thank you, Lord, for helping me tonight. Lord, I know you gave me this message. And God, that person tonight that is suffering from that spiritual cold, the obvious symptoms, Lord, that they've lost that love that they once had for you. Speak to that heart tonight. Deal with that life, God. Cause them to see and make them to realize that it's their move, that they must come back to you, and they must repent, and they must do the first works, or else, Lord, you will remove that light, and they will be in darkness. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Needed a cure for the common cold. It's contagious, isn't it? When once that cold gets started in the church, one life, then another, and soon the next, and then another. What's wrong? What's happened? What's going on? Cold, cold, cold. Love grown cold. Heart grown cold. Am I Ephesus? Are you Ephesus? Let's look at it personally. Let's put the spotlight on our own heart. Let's take inventory of our own lives. Have I left that love? The Bible said that when they supped with Jesus, that they one by one began to say, Lord, is it I? Will you do that with me tonight?
Will you say, Lord, is it me? Am I the one that my heart's grown cold? Am I the one, Lord, who's become indifferent? Is it me? I've lost my relish for spiritual things. I've lost my hunger for the things of God. I've lost my desire for God's house. Cold, cold, cold. Your heads are bowed. They're going to get a song, and I'm fixing to open the altar. Could I see a hand? Brother Shad, pray for me. My heart's cold. I see one hand, two hands, three. How about it, Mom, Dad? Sister, brother? You read the symptoms right tonight, preacher. I feel like that I'm making a call to some here tonight. And just so that there's no blood on my hands, I'm going to read it to you one more time. Or else. Or else. I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. There's some of you in this house tonight, you've come down to that place of or else. You're going to have to make a choice. And to not make a choice is to make a choice. The decision is forced upon you. You're going to have to choose whether it's going to be God or this world. Cold, cold, cold. Any more hands? Pray for me, preacher. My heart's cold. I believe God gave me this message for this service. Pray for me, Brother Shad. My heart's cold. Any more hands? Preacher, will God speak to me again? He's speaking to you now. Brother Shad, will God send me another message? He sent you one tonight. Will I have an opportunity to get in later? You've got one now. You need to be healed from that cold. These people were good people. These were working people. These were laboring people. They just got cold. Heart grown cold. Any more hands? I feel so uneasy at times like this because I don't want to give up too quick. I don't want to call everyone in the altar in just resignation as if we've just give up. And you say, well, I'm off the hook. My friend, even if you resist this altar call, you're still not off the hook. Your heart's grown cold. And Jesus is saying, remember. Remember where you once were. I'm gonna make a long step. Is there anybody that'd leave their pew right now and come to this altar while our heads are bowed? Ain't nobody's business but your business. Brother Shad, my heart's cold and I need to pray. I want you to come right now. I'm gonna do this in a way that the Lord leads me to do it. And I'm gonna try to make it as easy on you as I can. My heart's cold, Brother Shad. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Oh, Spirit of God. It's your move. It's your call. God sent you a message. Service is just right. Spirit's just right. Conviction is here. What better opportunity could you ask for than this? My heart's cold, preacher. I need to get a hold of God. Anybody else? I think the Lord's made you to realize tonight. I think the Lord has caused you to see. It's evident. You're just suffering from a cold heart. It's nobody's fault but yours. It's not the church's fault. And you've not tried to say that it is. It's nobody else's blame. You're just suffering from a cold heart. And God loves you tonight. And because of that, He's reaching for you one more time. But you've come to that place of or else. Anybody else? Pray for me, Brother Mangholm. My heart's cold. Thank you, Jesus. All right, while they sing, I'm going to make an altar. You want to pray? Let's come pray.
Let me fall.